speaking about a wonderful pastor. I don't know where he is. All you got this morning is me. Thank you, Dion. Bless you guys. Thank you for your faithful, continued support for the work of the Lord and just honoring the Lord, worshiping God with your finances. Bless and thank you for that. I have such a desire this morning to be with my family. That's you people. Such a strong, strong, strong desire. It's still good to be able to get together. For when we can get together, it is a privilege and something that we have learned to appreciate during these difficult times, isn't it? You know, it's often been said that we don't always realize what we have until we don't have it anymore. And it's a privilege being able to get together. And I thank God for that all the time, every time. We've been speaking for the last couple of weeks about making God happy. And wasn't Jan's ministry awesome last week? What makes an awesome father and a good father? It was really, really good. I really enjoyed catching up and watching that online. But we've been speaking about making God happy. And when I did speak about it last time, we spoke about the fact that obedience is required in the Word. And we know it says that we are saved by grace through faith. But the Scripture also says that faith without works is dead. That assurance of salvation is based on grace and obedience. That we can't just expect to live our lives the way we want to without being obedient. And because of that, I'm going to be obedient to what the Lord has laid on my heart this morning to share with you guys. We're going to divert a little bit off the theme of making God happy. And what I'm going to speak about this morning, the title of this message, without changing the spelling, can be read in English and Afrikaans. And in Afrikaans, this God is here. God is here. Oh no, God is here. Yeah, sorry, God is here. I knew that. I was just testing my Afrikaans sprekende boeties and sissies. And in English it is, God is here. And sitting here during the worship this morning, I heard different, God is here. Ja, maar in Afrikaans, God is here. Nee, sonder om die spelling te verander, God is here, hy is die here. God is here. Ja, werk saam met my man. Ek het die hele ding uitgewerk in my kop, nou is dit nie reg nie. During the worship this morning, I realized, you know, what makes the gathering of the saints special? What makes us getting together special and worthwhile? What makes this ground significant? It's the presence of the Lord. It's something I believe we must never, ever take for granted. And I thought about the presence of the Lord, and I thought about the things of faith. The movement and the way in which the Holy Spirit works, most of the time, has nothing to do with how we feel. People say, well, I can't feel God's presence. God doesn't feel real or alive to me. Does it change who He is? The fact that there are millions, billions, probably, people on the planet today that don't believe that God exists, does it change the fact that God exists? So when I'm sitting here this morning and I don't feel the presence of the Lord, or I don't feel the anointing, or I don't feel, does it change the fact that what God's Word says remains true? And I'm going to read a scripture this morning upon which we're going to base what we're going to do this morning. And to be honest with you, like is often the case, I don't really feel like preaching this morning. But I'm going to, because I can't stand here and do what I want. I can't stand here and just preach anything. I have to be obedient to what I know, because I know, because I know God is wanting us to do this morning. And also during the worship, I thought, Lord, how is it possible that a simple human being, a person who in terme van die ewigheid se lewe dan so kort is, our lives are so short. People have been saying that the Lord is coming, the Lord is coming, the Lord is coming for thousands, meervoud of years. It's like, really, Lord? Just get it over with already. And I say that respectfully. Because we think of our lives is like the longest time and place so much importance here. Mense, in terme van die ewigheid, what is our lifespan? What is our lifespan? And it's because of that. If you look at it from God's perspective, who's not bound by space or time, of course you can say, Jesus is coming. And like the song says, it can happen today. It can happen right now. And I thought, how then can, how does God work? A human being, a person, wie se lewe dan nietig is, is dit die regte woord? Nee? Jy sit dan op 'n stoel. And we're going to do something now, we're going to pray, and then how can that possibly make a difference if we're not connecting to the God of the universe? The God who made it all possible, and the God whose spoken word is keeping everything in perfect balance. Do you know why we're experiencing winter? Why are we experiencing winter? Simply because the earth has changed its position just a little bit. That's all. A couple of degrees, I don't know how many degrees on its axis. It's changed just a little bit, and we're feeling the cold. Now imagine if it goes a little bit too far. Imagine if it goes a little bit too close to the sun. And all of that is because there's an awesome, mighty, living God, the only living God that has spoken everything into existence by His Word. He spoke the stars into existence. The scripture says they can't be numbered, and He knows them all by name. He's numbered all of the stars. And this earth is spinning on its axis because of God's spoken word. I think at 20-something kilometers per second, something like that. And our hearts are beating because of God's spoken word. And it's because of that, us as people who in terms of eternity, our lifespan is like, it's like nothing. We can connect with this living God and trust God to see godly change in our lifetime. Not only one day in heaven, can we say amen? So we're going to read a scripture this morning. And ladies and gentlemen, if we believe what we're going to read this morning, one verse to start off with, there's going to be several verses. But if we can believe just this one verse, it changes everything. It changes everything. Are we ready this morning? Okay. So we're going to move away from making God happy to just do something different this morning. Is that okay? I'm going to read it to you and then we'll give you the scripture reference. So guys at the back, moet dit nie voor die tyd opskiet nie. For where two or three are gathered as my followers, I am there among them. And that's Matthew 18 and verse 20. Where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. Now folks, if we believe that, it changes everything. You see, if I'm just sitting on my chair here, like you as a human being, we can't connect to God in any way whatsoever, then we are doomed. We can just pack up and go home and just let it all end now because there's no future, there's no hope. But if I believe this and if we believe this to be true, and I said, ongeag hoe ek voel, you might be sitting there right now and watching online, and I say this respectfully, you might not feel like this at all. You might feel like death warmed up. It might not feel real to you, but if you believe this, where two or three are gathered in His name, He's there in the midst of them. And that's what makes this ground special. That's what makes our gathering special. That's what makes the coming together of God's people special. That's why the devil will do everything in his power, and I'm not talking about COVID, even before COVID, he'll do everything in his power to stop God's people getting together. See, the church was called the Church of Jesus Christ long before any building was ever built to house them in. The church, where's the church? It's where God's people are, where they gathered, His followers gathered in His name. And I want to say this, and I just, The people that followed Jesus Christ, what did they do? They crucified him. I want to say it's more than just following Jesus. There are people that believed in Jesus but didn't follow him. I want to say it's where the people that are doing their best that they can, as enabled by the Holy Spirit, who are living and loving like Jesus, where they are, that's where God is. Because the followers crucified Jesus. Whenever Jesus was doing around, they thought, yes, this guy doing these cool tricks and the spiritual magic. He drew attention. People followed him. They followed him. And they're the ones that crucified him. So I want to add to that this morning, if I may, for the context of what we're saying. It's where those who are doing whatever they can as enabled by the Holy Spirit, because it's not the effort of human flesh. It's not the effort of human flesh. Those who are living like and loving like Jesus, where they are gathered together, God is in the midst of them there. That's where God is. So, if we believe that God is here, we're going to make statements of faith this morning, church. If this verse is true, and it certainly is, we can say, because God is here, we have victory over the devil. Because God is here, we have peace. Because God is here, we have hope. Because God is here, we have healing. In body, soul, and in our spirits. Because God is here, we have abundance. Enough to give to others. Because God is here, we have protection. Because God is here, we have joy. Because God is here, we have wisdom. Because God is here, our future is secure. Some folks might never realize that Jesus is all they need until Jesus is all they've got. Personally, for myself, I had to be completely broken before I realized I needed fixing. Some people will only look up when they are completely rock bottom. But before then, they'll just look to themselves and to things and circumstances and people around them. Sometimes you have to be so low before you will eventually look up. And sadly, some people will only realize that Jesus is all they need until Jesus is all they've got. When their money's left them, when their friends have left them, when the worldly system and the supports and the jaarbroers like Saldavius, ons is braas, wanneer daar braas nie meer daai is nie, hulle is by 'n ander braai, en jy's alleen, then you realize that the friend who sticks closer than the brother, who's Jesus, has always been there. There was a time not so long ago, and it happens from time to time, where I'm deep in my sin, and I'm not calling it sin, I'm enjoying it. I know none of you are like that. I'm enjoying it. I'm saying like, God, where are you? And the Lord is like, right here, my son. You see, the psalm says in Psalm 139 that even though I make my bed in hell, he's there. He's there. I cannot escape his goodness and his love. He's there. So if we can say we're two or more of his people who are living like him and loving like him are there in his name, he's there in the midst of them. These things we can claim as ours and the benefits of the gospel of Jesus because he is here. Because he is here. We know Hebrews 11 and verse 6, it says, it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he's a reward and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. So church, if we may this morning, I'm asking in all sincerity, can we please sincerely seek God this morning? I'm not here to preach. I'm here to seek God. God. I want intimacy with the Father. That's why we're here. Can we seek God this morning? Can we look for God this morning? And what is it? How do you look for somebody, a being who's everywhere? by connecting with Him in your spirit, by connecting with God in your spirit. You see, I might be on, I'll give you an example. Whether you're a biker or not, you can relate to this. You're in your car, you're on your bike, you're on your bicycle, you're in the plane, in a plane somewhere. And okay, in the plane, you're riding in the clouds, but on earth here, you're riding in the mist. And you think about the destination, you're listening to some music in the car or whatever, or you're trying to keep the kids in the back seat quiet or stop them from having a roll, or you're having intense fellowship with the missus and she's wara, 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 and you're like, I can't even word it, I said to my word. And you're riding through the mist. You're in the middle of the mist. You don't see the mist. And on ewe skielik word jou aandag getrek on the mist. And then you see the mist. Do you get what I'm saying? Your mind is preoccupied with something else, and you're driving in the midst, in the midst of the mist. Save myself here. You're driving in the midst of the mist, and you don't see it, and then all of a sudden you become aware of the mist. And it's like that with God. I'm asking this morning, church, can we seek God and sincerely seek Him? To where we are, right there where you're seated, with all the challenges and the difficulties, the victories and the failures that you have, that you brought to church with you this morning, that makes up who you are, right there where you're seated, can we please sincerely seek God this morning? Because if I believe that opening scripture, He's here. My brother, my sister, God is here. He's here. He's here. Let's not take it lightheartedly and think, well, it's just some scripture verse. Angels move around Him since eternity, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. A couple of sermons ago, during the peak of lockdown, when we weren't allowed to get together, God dropped this in my heart. If there was as much preaching in the world today about the holiness of God as what there is about the grace of God, we'd be living on a different planet. It's time we realize that God is holy. And that's the one who's here this morning. Nie iemand daarbo, die groot baas daarbo. He's God Almighty. So this morning we want to sincerely seek Him. As His church this morning, we're going to sincerely seek Him. James 4 and verse 8, it says, come close to God and God will come close to you. Now we're going to see that it's scriptural to sanitize your hands. Scriptural? You don't believe me? I'm a preacher, I'm a pastor, you must trust me. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands. Wash your hands. Wash your hands. And this is addressed to the church. This is Jesus' stepbrother, James. Wash your hands, you sinners. Now you might be thinking outside people, outside the context of our fellowship. No, it's talking about us. Now you see, I'd like to say, you know, people say, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Okay. But how about realizing that you're a saint who sometimes sins? The focus is different. So we're saints of God who sometimes sin. And God's saying, come wash your hands. Come make right with me. God is not like, yeah, I got you. You're going to burn. He's like, come. Jesus has paid the price. Let's fix this. Come, let's talk and let's fix this. That's what God is saying this morning. So let's wash our hands. Purify your hearts. For your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Ouch. Your loyalty is divided between God and the world. And as His church this morning, we're going to come close to Him with undivided hearts. The next scripture. Gentlemen, please put it up. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. Are we God's people this morning? Are we God's people this morning? Then, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. We need restoration in this nation. We need restoration in this nation. Ladies and gentlemen, we know what the scriptures foretell. We know what the prophecies say, that things are going to get worse. We know that. But God also encourages us that in the midst of that, to keep on believing His word for the promises so that His kingdom can be built in the lives of people while the prophecies come to pass. There's that crazy balance of what we know what the scriptures say, how bad it's going to be, and we're living in those times. But at the same time, we can trust God to establish His kingdom in people's hearts. So as His church this morning, I'm going to ask that we sincerely seek Him with clean hands, with pure hearts, with undivided minds, with loyalties true to Him, and stand in the gap for our families, our friends, the people of South Africa. I had this conversation with a dear brother of mine who's at a bad place in his life concerning our future as believers in South Africa. Who knows how many have left this nation to go to other nations where I understand not being a parent, but I understand when they say, because there's no future for my children here. I understand the practicalities of saying that. People who have left because their homes have been invaded and family members have been killed in front of them or been threatened with death in front of them, and they've left for other countries. I understand that. And if God is sending you somewhere else, why haven't you left yet? But if God hasn't, please, in the name of everything that is sacred, I implore you, make sure that you're being part of the solution and not part of the problem. If God has called you to stay here, please make sure that you're part of the solution and not part of the problem. And I had this conversation with this dear brother of mine that's in this difficult place. And I said, I understand how bad things are in South Africa. How the current leadership for the last quarter of a century has just dismantled this place brick at a time. One brick at a time. And destroyed and busy destroying. I understand that and I get that. But here's this concern that I have in my heart. And I'm being real with you this morning because we are family. This is just me. My conviction. And I'm not preaching my conviction. I'm telling you about it. We have a responsibility to preach the word, not your conviction. Live out your conviction, but preach the word. This is my conviction. What if I decide to bail, jump ship, sell what I have, go to greener pastures, to more rustige shores. And God says to me, Mozzie, as a believer, as an ambassador of the kingdom of God, I wanted you to make a difference at that very little tip of deepest, darkest Africa. And you bailed ship. What if God is calling me to make a difference here in this nation, in this critical time, where the majority of the people in this country are under the sway of the wicked one? 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. Not 2 Corinthians 4. 1 John 5 verse 14, I believe it is. 1 John 5 verse 14 or 1 John 5 verse 19 says that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. What if God has called me here now to be the light in the darkness? 1 John 5:19. What if God has called me to be the light in the darkness and I say, no, Lord, I went somewhere else because it was more comfortable and more convenient for me. You see, I don't care what country you are in, what passport you hold, you only have a future when your future is vested in the promises of God. Not in some country, a first world country that works or a government that's more stable. You only have a future when your future is invested in the promises of God. So in spite of all of that, folks, we need to decide and make a decision for ourselves. Say, am I going to be part of the solution or am I part of the problem? So for me right now, I'm still convinced that I can somehow make a difference at the tip of deepest, darkest Africa, amongst its people that are desperately in need of Jesus. You see, the fact that I'm standing here, saved by the blood of Jesus, saved from the flames of hell, is because somewhere along the line, somebody was praying for my salvation. Somebody was praying for me. And by God's grace, I was saved from hell. What if God has called me to do that for others and I decide, no, I'm leaving, Lord, because I can't handle this government or this place anymore. I'm going. I don't know. That's just my conviction. You make of it what you will. And because of that, these scriptures are true and relevant to me this morning. If my people are called by my name, humble themselves. I say, Lord, I humble myself and I seek your face and I turn from my wicked ways, Lord. Then you will hear from heaven. You'll forgive our sins and restore the land. Let's do this as a church this morning. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. It's not for the guys. I didn't give it to the guys at the back, but it says this, that the eyes of the Lord, 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9, says that the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. Now imagine God looking, and he finds people whose hearts are disloyal and are thinking about other things and more distracted by all sorts of things and whose hearts and minds are not in the right place, and he finds no one. He finds no one. In Ezekiel 22 and verse 30, I looked for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. Shoo. Who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. And I searched for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy the land. But I found no one. May God's eyes, as his eyes go to and fro throughout the whole earth, may it stop over this fellowship called Bikers Church in the Vol Triangle. May he find two or more gathered in his name, are willing to stand in the gap and say, Lord, this morning we're going to seek your face. This morning we're going to sincerely seek you. We're going to stand in the gap for this nation, for its people, for us, for our loved ones, our friends and family. May he find someone to stand in the gap this morning. May we be ready to be used of him. Let's sincerely intercede for families that have lost loved ones to this pandemic as well as other things. Mensa, It's getting closer and closer to home. We used to hear about it like every now and again. Now it's several cases a week of people that we're hearing that are dying. And we're at a critical stage in this country at this time, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to do this morning with my family that we can sincerely seek God. Let's intercede for wisdom for governments to deal with the impact of that this pandemic is having on nations. And I don't know about you, but in my small little pea brain, I've come to this conclusion, and it's an opinion. And the problem is, everybody thinks that their opinion counts, and that's just my opinion. My opinion. Ons het nie 'n antwoord vir hierdie ding nie, hoor. We don't have an answer. There's so much confusion there about contaminated vaccines, expired vaccines, vaccines that have not been tested, vaccines that can be used, vaccines that can't be used, boerenraad, goggling this, drinking that, stuff they use for. And there's so much out there. People are still dying. I'm just saying. People that have received the vaccine are getting it afterwards. It's out there. I'm just saying. And please, I'm not for one second saying don't get the vaccine. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying in my small pea brain, ons het nie 'n antwoord vir hierdie ding. All we've got is God. And you won't know Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you've got. That's what I'm saying. And because of that, folks, we have to come to God at this time. In the pre-service pre-meeting, we prayed that this morning, God, use this time. I said, Nisu and Izella, use this time, Lord. Don't let this time go to waste. Every moment of every hour of every day, of month after month, and now in our second year, use this time, Lord, for those who don't know you. May they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus before Satan steals their lives. And for those who do know you, may we grow closer to God than ever before. Let this thing backfire in the devil's face. Like Goliath had a sword. His own sword that he wanted to use against God's people was the sword that ended up killing him. David's stones that he gathered knocked the giant down. That didn't kill the giant. Goliath's own sword killed him. And then in Chronicles we see when they put the worship team, the deep end, in front of the army and they were praising the Lord, the enemy turned on itself because they were praising God. You see, when we pray, God sends angels to minister on our behalf. The Bible teaches us that in Hebrews chapter 1. But when we worship God, He pitches up Himself because He inhabits the praises of His people. So let God use this time. Let God use this time. I'm not going to say that God sent the pandemic. All I know is it's here. Let God use this time to let those who don't know Him get to know Him. And those who do know Him, to get to know Him more than ever before. Let's use this time so that it backfires in the enemy's face. When he might think, like imagine the biggest satanic miscalculation of all time. They think that Jesus is dead. And 3 days later in hell, they get a visitor that says, "Give me back the keys." Imagine this backfiring in the devil's face. When he thinks the world is beat and the churches are emptied because the government's declared they can't get together, when God's people are still worshiping Him in spirit and in truth and sincerely seeking His face, church, to turn this thing around. And we're going to do that this morning. Why? Because human beings like you and me are connecting with this living, holy God who is here. And when we pray this morning, we're going to close this thing off with prayer. We're going to pray this morning. And when we say, "If my people are called by my name, will humble themselves," and we say, "Lord, cleanse our hands and purify our hearts," think of the scripture. Think of the scripture. This rattled my cage so much so. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, "For the time has come for judgment, and it must begin with God's household." I don't know about you. It stirs up the fear of God in me. The time has come for God's judgment, and it must begin with God's household. When you clean a flight of stairs, where do you start? At the top of the staircase. The time has come for judgment, must begin with God's household. And if judgment begins with us, what terrible fate awaits those who have never obeyed God's good news? One of the things we're going to pray for is that the fear of God falls upon all people. All people. The Church of Jesus Christ included. Included. Because there's so many things happening today in the name of Christianity that the unsaved can no longer discern between the world and the church. It looks, it sounds, and it acts the same. May the fear of God fall upon His church again. Psalm 111 and verse 10. "For the fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom." We're going to pray for wisdom for this country and its leaders, for its church leaders. I need wisdom. How can I shepherd God's people? What do I know about building a church? Nothing, man, nothing. We need God's wisdom. "All who obey His commandments will grow in wisdom. Praise Him forever." Proverbs 8 and verse 13. I remember how this scripture came to life when Harry shared it with me years ago. I was saying, like, what is the wisdom of God? And he spoke, and when he spoke it, it's like, the lights came on, became rhema. Proverbs 8 and verse 13. "All who fear the Lord will hate evil." Some translations say, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Hate evil. "Therefore I hate pride and arrogance, corruption and perverse speech." So this morning, church, may we practically do this for ourselves this morning. Right there where you're seated, let's sincerely seek God. I'm going to ask that the sound engineers just put some worshipful soft music on in the background to take control of the atmosphere in this place this morning as we pray together. I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer. And if you, I'd encourage you to sit there and just pray in the Spirit. Pray fervently in tongues, my brother, my sister. Pray in truth as you sit there, as we seek the Lord's face together this morning and trust God for these things. So we pray together this morning in Jesus' name. God, because you are here, we have victory over the devil. Because you are here, we have peace. Because you are here, we have hope. Because you are here, we have healing. Because you are here, we have abundance. Because you are here, we have protection. Because you are here, we have joy. Because you are here, you have wisdom. Because you are here, our future is secure. Because of you, Lord Jesus, we can worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And we thank you for your goodness, Lord. Father, we thank you for the saving grace of Jesus. Lord, we stand in the gap, Lord God. And we come to you and say, Father, examine our hearts first, Lord. We make ourselves exposed before you, Lord God. See our hearts. See our hearts, Lord. Ask, Lord, that you would forgive us. Forgive us as a church, Lord. Forgive me, Father. Cleanse my hands, Lord. Purify my heart, Lord. Wash us clean and renew a steadfast spirit within us, Lord, as we seek your face this morning. In the name of Jesus. Lord, when judgment comes, may we be found in right standing with you, Lord Jesus, because you paid the price for us, O God. We want to say this morning, Lord God, like priests, priests would bring a sacrifice for the nation. Priests would bring a sacrifice for God's people to say, God, yes, a sacrifice for your people. Jesus, you've paid the ultimate sacrifice. As your church this morning, we sincerely seek you. We seek your face, Lord. Lord, have mercy upon us. Be gracious to us. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for cleansing us, Lord. Thank you for making us righteous before you because of the blood of Jesus, not because of our works. Our faith is not in our faith. Our faith is in you, the living God, who's given us the faith. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us. And then this morning, Lord God, we stand in agreement with Jesus. And we intercede with you, Lord. Holy Spirit, as you lead us in prayer, we pray first and foremost for your church. You teach us to pray, Lord God, for your church, Lord. We pray for the church, Lord. We pray that the fear of you would fall upon us all again in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the fear of God fall on us all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Teach us what it means to fear you, and that is to hate evil. Lord, let a holy, righteous indignation rise up within us, Lord God, that would teach us to hate evil and love what is good in your eyes, Lord. Teach us to hate evil, Father. Lord, let your fear fall upon your church. Let it fall upon us, Lord, that we live in fear and trembling before God Almighty, the great I am, the ancient of days, Lord, the one who was and who is to come, God Almighty. Teach us the fear of God, Lord. Lord, we pray for your church, Lord God, that we would embrace and receive your anointing, Lord, that we would live holy, righteous lives, Lord God, led by your Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. Lead us by your Spirit, Lord, as your church, in Jesus Christ's name. And then as your church, Lord God, we rise up as an army this morning. We stand in the gap for this nation. You've raised up the true church of Jesus Christ. Whatever name it has, you know your true church, Lord. You've raised up your church to be your voice in this country at this time, Father. And therefore we stand in the gap for South Africa. this broken, dying, diseased, crippled, crime-ridden, corrupt, perverse, sick nation. We pray for this nation, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, would you be merciful to this nation, Lord? Would you be gracious to us, Lord God? Would you save this nation, Lord God, from the clutches of the devil, from ancestral worship, Lord God, and witchcraft, and materialism, Lord God, and bribery and corruption and lust and perversion, Lord? Would you save this nation from violence, Lord, in the name of Jesus? Would you save this nation, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name? Father, would you help us make a difference as long as you want us to be here, Lord? While today is today, we pray for this nation, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name, Lord. We pray for South Africa, Lord. Lord, we pray for the leaders of this nation. We pray for wisdom, Lord God, for the president and people that make decisions as how to administrate this country. Lord, grant them wisdom in the name of Jesus. Lord, let the fear of God fall upon Parliament in such a mighty way, Lord God, that people will know that you are alive, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for this nation. And Lord, we pray for friends and family, Lord, our loved ones, those who have lost loved ones whose hearts are grieving this morning, Lord. Homes and families that are feeling the impact of people that have passed on because of this pandemic and whatever reasons there may be, Lord. We stand in the gap for them this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would comfort them, Lord. That you would comfort them, grant them peace, Lord. Where no human words can help, Lord God. Just embrace them, Lord. Make them aware of your presence. Make your love known to them in a real, practical way, like never before, Lord Jesus. Thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the power that is in your name, and thank you for the power that is in your blood. Thank you, Lord God, that we can console ourselves this morning. Your word says that the effective, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much, Lord. And you inhabit the praises of your people. And we want to praise you this morning. And we praise you and give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. And folks, let's just take a few minutes right there where you're seated just to give God thanks and praise. The scripture says that God inhabits the praises of his people. Let's thank God this morning for answered prayers. Let's thank God that things have changed in the heavenlies. Let's thank God that things have shifted this morning in the spiritual realm. Not because we have prayed, but because he is God. And he's faithful and he's true. And he's a loving, caring God. So right there where you're seated, just give God thanks and praise. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for your grace, Lord. We thank you for your mercy, Lord. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for answered prayers, Lord. We thank you for breakthrough in this nation. We thank you for breakthrough against this virus, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for medical breakthroughs. We thank you for godly wisdom for scientists and virologists and doctors, Lord. We thank you for strength for people on frontline ministry, Lord God, the doctors and the nurses, Lord God. Emergency medical staff, Lord God. We pray for those, Lord God, who do not have access to medical care, Lord God. When doctors cannot get to them, Lord, and they cannot get medical treatment, Lord, would you get to them? Would you get to them and help them through these difficult times, Lord? We thank you for comforting broken, hurting hearts this morning. We thank you for wisdom for church leaders, Lord. We thank you for wisdom for your church, Lord. Thank you for your grace, Lord, in Jesus' name. We bless you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for peace. We thank you for life. We worship you. We love you. We adore you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Worship you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for making the time to listen this morning and worship with us this morning. We just trust that God is going to be God and is going to be faithful and true to his word. Thank you for making the time to visit with us this morning. Please stay safe, exercise godly wisdom. Exercise godly wisdom. May Almighty God bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you His supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. We love you dearly. Have an awesome, awesome week. Thank you for coming. God bless you.